Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well today. How about you?
I'm doing fabulous on this wonderful moon day. And I'd like to thank you, listeners, for tuning in today. And today on The Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about New Year's resolutions and the importance of reflection with analysis to create a plan for a better future. We will discuss the value of being retrospective and determine what is working and what has outlived itself. Out with the old to make room for the new. Swami will demonstrate how to make resolutions with clear intentions and explain why it is important to be specific instead of vague and general. Join in as we talk about how to evaluate your progress for 2015 and formulate a more productive plan for 2016. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul to help give your resolutions the power of intention. Well, Swami, what I'd like to do is I'd like to read a little bit of a passage from the 365 Tao Daily Meditation by Dang Ming Tao, and it was actually for January 1st, and I thought it was pretty interesting. The beginning of the page starts with a little quote, and it says, "This is the moment of embarking. All auspicious signs are in place." And then he writes, "In the beginning, all things are hopeful. We prepare ourselves to start anew. In order to start, we must make a decision. This decision is a commitment to daily self-cultivation. We must make a strong connection to our inner selves. Outside matters are superfluous. Alone and naked, we negotiate all of life's travels. Therefore, we alone must make something of ourselves, transforming ourselves into the instruments for experiencing the deepest spiritual essence of life." And isn't that what we talk about in yoga at the ashram, is about transformation. So I thought it was really interesting, you know, and then he says, once we make a decision, all things will come to us. So I think that's important when we are making these resolutions, that we have to really decide what is it that we really want. And I know we've talked about that in other shows as well. What do we really want and what do we hope to gain from it? And you know, like he says, what we decide, we have to kind of stick to that decision and bring it to its fruition.
Yeah, isn't that what the one of the cautions, I think, in the Bible is? Be careful what you ask for. And to have a real understanding of what it is that we are asking for and what is it that it's going to do for us. And a lot of what we talk about here is to have a clear understanding of what it is to actually be spiritual as opposed to being embroiled in the physical world and thinking that you're spiritual. Mm-hmm. That von Goethe, I think, was so on point when he said, "None are more hopelessly in prison than those who falsely believe that they're free." And until we really have a clear understanding of what it is to transform, you know, trans, go through form, to separate from the visible and the tangible, and to attach to something that is formless, invisible, intangible, and then also to understand that there is this other resource, this invisible, tangible source of sustenance that can be so problematic. And so that's one of the reasons why, like we talk about here, this reflection, looking at, you know, what did I do last year? What did I do in 2015? And am I moving in a positive direction? And what are the signposts? What are the observable guidelines that I'm using to determine my success? Because manifesting things is not a good barometer. Even in some respects, just because you have good health doesn't necessarily mean that you're drawing from the right energy field. So when you are trying to become the best that you can possibly be, you have to have a real clear understanding of what it is that you're trying to do, and maybe even a better understanding of what it's going to look like when you're actually doing it.
So for making resolutions for, well, this year I want to make 20% more salary than I did last year, whatever it might be. So, again, what you've talked about in the past is, you know, what you desire says a lot about where you're coming from. You're coming from an animal nature, or are you coming from a spiritual nature? So we need to be cautious as to what it is that we're looking for. But if somebody who is trying to make this resolution to, you know, this year I'm going to do X, Y, Z and stay on my spiritual path because this is what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to find that connection to the one thing that sustains all of life. And so if we desire that, we make that a resolution, we decide that that's what we're going to do, then we should be imploring strategies to be able to get what it is that we want.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And one of the things, like most of us, you have to look at what you're asking for, and then you have to unpack it. Just like you said, I want to make 20% more money. Well, what is 20% more money going to do for you spiritually? And what happens, say, for example, if your values, actually, you look at your values then. Well, what's important to me, and why is money in this position of importance? And so when you start to unravel what it is that you're asking for, it gives you real clues as to who you are. And then if you have some of the tools that we use, you really want to know, like, why am I not happy with nothing? I think is a really good question that you want to put everything up against. Why am I not happy with the forces that are really important to me? And then that's when you start to get to the crux of most of our problems, because we're still drawing from things that are visible and tangible. And once this source of sustenance, once being connected to something that's invisible and intangible is more important to you, then you're in bedrock. Now, anything that you get is a bonus, is a plus. Now you have this sense of appreciation for something. But it's really not until we're satisfied, totally, completely satisfied with nothing, do we have that sense of awareness, that perspective to work with.
So when you're talking about drawing from the wrong energy field, you're talking about drawing from the physical. You're talking about drawing from, well, if I had more money, that would make me happy. If I had a hot fudge brownie sundae for dessert, that would make me happy. And if I don't get it, then I'm going to react as if I'm in danger. So I just want to make sure that our new listeners out there understand what it is that you're talking about, because they may not have had the background from this radio show to understand what it is that you're saying. So, but when we draw from spirit, when we take that right turn and we draw from spirit, that's what we should be yearning for every day.
Yeah, exactly. And I think in Denming Dao's book, if you open to yesterday, he talks about this. Yesterday was the third. Only by uniting all our inner elements can we have full devotion. Mm. All right, that's a really powerful statement, because if we don't change the pattern of our bodies, if we don't change the programming that our bodies came in with, and now have the body yearning for the void or the nothing, then the panel isn't wired. That's when we're still scattered. We don't have that element of purity. In Kriya Yoga, we call it brahmacharya, carrier of Brahman. Now you've internalized the life force in your body as your new symbol for validation. That becomes the sole concern of any of your efforts. And then everything that you do from there will build. By building resolutions based on everything that is superficial, tangible, invisible, invisible, intangible, you're still not connecting to this one true God, this concealed deity that the books are talking about. And trying to set up your resolutions in a way that it is constantly pointing you in that direction, so that on a physical level, your body will actually yearn for your next breath. That your finances, that your values, that all of a sudden this next breath becomes the second most important thing in your life. And you're using it as a symbol that is valuable. And it has the same feelings that would be associated that most of us put on things that are visible and tangible, like money.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I did do some research on how the start of resolutions came about. And I'll just read you a passage that I researched from online, and it says, "The ancient Babylonians made promises to their gods at the start of the year, which actually began in mid-March, and that they would return borrowed objects and pay their debts." And it says, when they made their promises, when they made their resolutions at the beginning of the year, they did so that their gods would bestow grace on them throughout the course of the following 12 months, and breaking them would put them out of favor. So when they made their promises to their gods, they had to stick with it, or they would come to some kind of disaster if they didn't do them. And what's interesting is that in this same article, the author states that only 52% of the people that make resolutions here in our civilization, in Western civilization, only 52% of the participants were confident that they would be successful in their resolutions. And actually what it is, there's an 84% failure rate when people make a resolution. And I think you kind of hit the nail right on the head, because I think we're asking for the wrong things. We're asking for things that that we're not ready to get or we're not equipped to get.
Yeah, that's part of the problem is what we're asking for. And so when you are setting up your resolutions, you want to look at people that have the things that you're asking for, and then see, you know, just what exactly is that doing for them? And is it making me closer to my potential?
All right, well, great. Well, I have other questions for you, but I think what we're going to do is we're going to hold that thought. We'll pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So, listeners, we'll be back with you in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods, a complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, the comment or question I have for you comes from what you were saying earlier. You were talking about purification. And it says here in the 365 Tao book that purification starts all practice. First comes cleansing of the body, not to deny the body, but so that it is refined. Once cleansed, it can help us sense the divine. So if we talked about before, if we're not asking for the right thing, you know, if our resolution is to walk the spiritual path, and we haven't gone through the process, through the steps to purify, then it's a pretty good chance that you're not going to be successful in getting what you want.
Right, because you will not have attention for something that's invisible and intangible. Your body will still long for things that are visible and tangible or invisible and tangible. That's the physics of spirituality. That's the like attracts like. And one of the things that is really helpful, what we talk about is retrospection, is what surrounds us is within us. Like attracts like. So you look at the people that you've brought into your life. You look at the people that you are drawn towards. And what are their values? And what is it that they esteem as valuable? And it will give you clues as to what you esteem as valuable. And more and more you start to see that being spiritual is a relationship with something that is invisible and intangible. And it's not just academic or intellectual, because the whole thing of the union of the individual with the divine requires the rebirthing of the body in this life force. And when we rebirth the body in the life force, then of course the like attracts like is now that you're drawn towards the void or the nothing as opposed to the visible and the tangible. And purification becomes a platform to make that possible. But if you do not purify your body, you will not have attention for it. And in fact, in certain forms of Christianity, that's why the baptism comes before the Holy Communion. Now, of course, I think the church blew the whole thing with the concept of the Eucharist, because the communion should be with the divine and not with something that's visible and tangible.
So when we talk about purification of the body, but don't we also have to purify the mind? I mean, the body has to come first, right, before we can get into the mind?
Well, actually, I think it's the other way around, but you're 100% right. I mean, we have to purify ourselves on all levels so that everything is on board. And the interplay between your body and your mind is that's the starting point, because how we think is what we become. So you start by training your mind to look for this invisible, intangible resource. And then you pattern your body. You change the pattern of your body so that the body looks for the same thing. And that kind of gives you the focus that we're talking about. And then, of course, to do this, if you've downloaded the life-building exercise that we have available online, you understand that there are 12 different departments in life, that there are 12 facets of your mind that you want to program. And then to program each department or each facet with images that would lead you towards this invisible, intangible resource. And like we say, if you don't have a sense for the life force, then go to your number two life-sustaining force, breath. Breath is invisible, but it is tangible. You can hold your breath and put yourself in a real life-threatening situation. But how many of us are celebrating the availability of our next breath? Our bodies are searching for something visible and tangible. And that's all part of the programming that we come in with. And that's why purification, big part of the purification is the dissolving of this pattern that the body comes in with. We look for food, mother, and approval. And we don't have attention for this invisible, intangible source of sustenance. And so when you purify the body, you purge it of that pattern. And then you want to rewrite it with a new pattern that will now attach you to the life force. And when you internalize that, then matter, mind, and spirit will all be in harmony with this relationship, with this inexhaustible resource. So, yeah, you train the mind to look for it, and then you pattern the body to follow that.
Is that kind of like what you mean when we said in the very beginning of the show, out with the old to make room for the new? So we have to look at ourselves, and we need to somehow let go of all those things that aren't working for us, whether it's a thought pattern, whether it's a food pattern, whatever. We have to get rid of that so that we can make room to be able to turn inward and look for that divine presence, because that's what it is that we should be striving for. But we can't strive for that if we're bound up, you know, wondering about, you know, what's my next purchase going to be.
Right, or what time is coffee? No, I totally get that. And that's a big part of the concept of being spiritual, and also the difference between celebrity pseudo-spiritualism and true spirituality. And the difference is that one is intellectual. Celebrity pseudo-spiritualism is people's bodies are totally embroiled in the physical world. And all they're doing is using things in the physical world to try and substantiate the simple fact that their concept of a divine is rewarding them with things, as opposed to having this direct relationship with the divine, so that your communion with the divine is your source of joy. And in order to do that, you have to rebirth the body in it. And that's where I think the Kriya Yoga that we teach is very different than most of what's out there.
So we talked about, in the beginning of the program, about to be retrospective from the previous year. And then you were talking about, you know, using the 12 departments, and people can use the labyrinth to help them do that. So in order for them to be retrospective, they could actually use the labyrinth as a tool, or those 12 departments as a tool, to see, well, how did I fare in all the departments of my life last year? And then how can I make that leap to optimize my potential for this year? So do you recommend using that as a tool to be retrospective? And if not, how would you recommend that we make changes from one year to the next?
Yeah, depending on how familiar you are with the labyrinth and the chakra system, the recommendation that I would give is that you would either examine yourself in four different departments, or if you're better equipped, do go to 12. But the more that you can incorporate, I think the better it is, the more that you open it up, and if you understand yourself from a broader sense of awareness, because that's the origins of most of our diseases, is what's called neglect or imbalance. Energy follows mind. So to use the life-building exercise and go through each department and examine it, ask yourself questions about that department. Some of the departments may actually be unfamiliar areas, things that you never really considered as part of who you are. And if that be the case, then now you're putting energy in that area. And if energy follows mind, then you're moving yourself more towards balance than if you neglect these areas and we put energy in other areas, which can make us somewhat lopsided and maybe out of balance.
Well, thank you for that. So listeners, I think it's about that time we need to start closing down our program. So I'd like to invite you listeners out there to visit the website. You can follow Swami on Pinterest, Twitter, and Facebook, of course. And then also available are the online classes that you can access through the website, www.ipdtransform.com. Just click on the link, online classes, and that will direct you to PowHow. From there, you can make your selection of choice. But keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming, because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. Be sure to tune in to next week. I'm sure we'll have a great program for you next week as well. We may touch on healing. And so, Swami, any final thoughts or comments about our discussion today before we close?
Well, I would like to say that it is really important for us to not forget where we come from at any point, and to take one step back before you try and take two steps forward, I think is really helpful. Because if you have unresolved issues from the past, it kind of can be a little bit of a obstacle for forward movement. And one of the reasons why we do recommend that you are retrospective and reflective before you start to make decisions on what direction you want to go. And so with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.